Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 355 in this series. It's January 20th. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. And you know why?
Because I'm here with you.
Well, that too.
Yeah, it helps.
Classic radio shows.
Classic radio shows.
You know, the management said, I can play classic radio shows on the air here, as opposed to big band music. We just play some classic radio shows.
Yep.
What do you think of that?
I think
sound
it's a plan.
Good?
Yep.
And look who's in the booth producing our show.
We have Ben Anderson,
the best
filling in for Shantae tonight.
Hi guys.
Hey, what's going on, Ben? We have the Great Gildersleeve, Ben, and then Escape. And the Great Gildersleeve is my brother Vince's least favorite radio show, so I'm going to play it just to spite him. Just to spite him. But first, we're going to play our game. Cat's Pride, is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity for this hour is Matt Damon.
Heard of him.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
You know, when I am in a room with Matt Damon, but we're walking away from the crowd,
right.
If I'm walking and he's walking, people think we look exactly alike.
Like if you're miles down the road, maybe.
Right, and my back
is
to the person
far
and Matt
down
Damon's back.
And in your imagination.
Yeah, people, they can't tell us apart.
Well, that would make sense in your mind.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So he's the celebrity.
He is.
And what do they win?
They are going to win one of your favorite prizes, Carl, a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Gosh.
We always just salivate here for Lou Malnati's.
Can't ever get that. I mean,
I think they should just be sending it over.
They don't give us these gift certificates.
They don't, but we buy
give them away
because we love Lou Malnati's.
My son, this is not, I'm not even kidding you. He bought Lou Malnati's three nights in a row.
Oh,
he said to me, Dad, you want to go out to dinner? I said, I can't. I'm going to the station. He said, can I order another pizza? I said, didn't you order one last night? He's like, yeah, I ordered Lou's last night. And then I ordered Lou's the night before, too.
So you're keeping him in business.
Lou's, he had three nights in a row, my son.
You know what? I could do that. Pizza is my very
really?
Favorite all-time food.
All right. What caller would you
like? All
right.
We're going to go with caller 5.
All right. Call now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll play the game live on the air right after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
Let's get ridiculous.
All right, let's do that. We've got Pat on the line. Hey, Pat. Where's Pat? We got Pat with us?
Pat?
Yeah, Pat?
Yeah,
it's
up.
I don't hear anything.
Try again.
Pat?
I don't know where she is. I don't know. Oh, that's not good.
Pat? No. Ben, help
no,
us out.
No, she's there. We just gotta get her. Oh, well.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll start, and we'll add in when we can.
All right.
Okay?
Okie dokie.
All right. This is Matt Damon. Excuse me. Okay, you ready, Carl?
Yes.
Matt Damon attended Harvard University. Is that real or ridiculous?
Matt Damon, Harvard. I think so.
You think so?
I'm going to say real.
All right. And what would Pat say, do you think?
Pat would say real also.
Pat would say real. That is absolutely real. He
All
did attend
right.
Harvard. I don't think he graduated. But he studied English there.
Oh, all right.
All right, so you're both up one.
Okay. We're both up one. All right, let's go for... I have both up here because I wasn't sure. All right, so what's the
all
next
right.
one?
All right, the next one. His first speaking role was in Mystic Pizza. Is that real or ridiculous, Carl?
I think that was Brad Pitt was in Mystic Pizza. So I'm going to say ridiculous.
All right. And what does Pat say?
Pat agrees with me, of course.
Both of you say ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is real.
Oh, man.
And his line, do you want to know what his line was?
What?
You want my green stuff?
You want my green stuff.
Yep, that's true. All right, unfortunately, okay. Pat got that one wrong.
All right.
We have Pat
but
or no?
She's still going to win.
I know.
All right.
All right, the next one is, he used to smoke, but he quit with the help of a hypnotist.
I'm going to agree with that.
You like
I'm going to
that?
Say that that's real.
And Pat agrees as yeah. well, and that is real.
All right.
So you and Pat got 2 out of 3. So you know what? Pat's not even with me, but she's on the phone, and she is a winner. So.
For some strange reason, we can't get her on the.
I don't know what's happening. A little technical difficulty.
Yeah.
But you know what? Either way, she's going to win, and she has won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, $25. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best. Very best deep dish pizza, our personal favorite
here.
I like spinach.
Yeah.
You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order online at loumelnatis.com, or you can order it and send it right over here to WGN Radio.
Yeah, we'll definitely
any of those will do. But you know what? Pat was a good sport. She was a great player, and hopefully we'll get...
Pat doesn't talk that much, though.
She's kind of quiet, but she did a great job.
She's shy. She hasn't come out of her shell.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll work on it. We'll get her back, and I'll check in with her.
Just a few seconds ago, we played a classic radio club commercial. And, folks, we did this last night, and it was a resounding success. We had 50 people signed up last night to our classic radio club because we offered a $1 for the first month. $1 for the first month. So let's talk about that, Lisa.
Right. This is a club that is perfect for classic radio club lovers. So what we want to do is check it out. Go to classicradioclub.com, and you'll find out how to get your CDs or your digital download of Classic Radio for $1 for the first month. So here's the deal. $1, you can have them delivered to your door. You can get 10 radio shows and 5 CDs. All you pay is shipping and handling, which is $4.99. Or you choose the digital download option. You get an email and there's no shipping and handling. Still $1 for the first month. Here's all you have to do. Go to classicradioclub.com and enter the code radio in the promo box at checkout. If you love it, which we think you do and will, you'll stay. And if for any reason you'd like to cancel, you can do that as well. No matter which way you go, you still get the liner notes and all the background information. So it's really your choice. I know Carl picks out the best of the best radio shows, the most interesting, and Mike makes them so they are pristine quality. So it's a great club. We do it for you because we think you'd love it.
Yeah, we started this club because we have 100,000 plus radio shows. We wanted to get them into the hands of people that like classic radio and want to collect them. And they come in these really great CD cases and
or an email,
liner notes or email. And you know what? For a dollar, you should try it one time. Just try it. See if you like it. If you don't want to be part of the club after the first month, just cancel. It's no problem. But you know what? We think you'll like it. It's only a dollar. Go to classicradioclub.com. Make sure you use the promo code radio at checkout. All right. It's time now for the Great Gildersleeve. Let's go back to May 17th, 1942. This is called An Old College Chum Visits. It stars Hal Perry, part one of The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Yeah. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by Leonard L. Levinson. And now let's visit our friend, the Great Gildersleeve, who's just arrived home in great humor. For the local paper contains a big write-up and picture of our hero, the latest in a series they've been running entitled Men Who Have Pushed Summerfield Ahead. Number 89, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Go ahead, read on, Marjorie.
Mr. Gildersleeve gained his college education at Princeton, where he was a member of the class of 14. He was one of Princeton's star athletes and musicians, and was selected by his classmates as Student most likely to weigh 200 pounds in 10 years.
Oh, yes, dear old Princeton. Incidentally, Marjorie, do you like the picture of me the newspaper printed?
Oh, yes, Uncle. You look positively handsome.
Handsome? Oh, no. What do you think of it, Bertie?
Just like one of them movie stars, only you got a pretty mustache and he ain't.
Oh, is that so? And which star do you mean, Ronald Coleman?
No.
No? Are you positive?
Well, definitely.
Tyrone Power?
No.
Clark Gable? Frederick March? Robert Taylor?
No. Mm-mm.
Cary Grant? Victor Mature?
That's it. No, I remember.
Who? Victor Mature?
No, sir. Costello of Abbott and Costello. Now, if he only had a mustache like yours.
Yeah, excuse me. I'll get it. Costello of Abbott and Costello. Hello?
Hello. Is this my old palsy-walsy Gildy?
This is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. Who's speaking, please?
Now, brace yourself for a surprise. It's Brownie.
Brownie? I don't know any Brownies. Which Brown are you?
Your old pal, Bob Brown, who went to college with you. I just arrived in town for a few days, and I thought I'd give you a ring.
Well, that was mighty nice of you. Hey, Bob Brown is... I still don't remember him. Well, we'll have to get together if sometime.
You bet you my life, old kid. How about you coming right downtown and having dinner with me?
Oh, I couldn't do that tonight, but hold the line a minute, will you? Bertie, would it be all right for me to invite a guest out for dinner?
Yes, sir. The roast, it'll stretch.
Are you sure that we have enough of everything now?
Oh, indubitably. Only maybe you better ask him to bring his own sugar.
Yeah. Hello, Brown? Say, I've got an idea. Why don't you come out and have dinner with us?
Oh, no, I wouldn't dream of troubling you folks.
Oh, that's quite all right. The roast will stretch. Come on out. We're at 747 Parkside Avenue.
747 Parkside. I'll be there, kiddo. By Jiminy, I can hardly wait to see you again, Throcky old Socky. Toodaloo.
Goodbye. Brown. Bob Brown.
I better get out the good linen. Incidentally, Miss Marge, is we demitassing and finger bowling tonight?
Oh, yes, Bertie. Oh, Leroy, go comb your hair. We're having a guest for dinner.
Jeepers, every time we have somebody for dinner, I gotta comb my hair. Who is it, Uncle Mort?
Well, I can't quite remember, my boy. There were two Bobby Browns in my class at Princeton, and I don't know which one this is.
Gee, when you were at Princeton, I bet you were the big noise around the campus, Unc.
No, my boy. I didn't go out for cheerleader.
He was more of the athletic type.
Yeah.
He was? What did you start in, Unc? Football?
No, my boy. I was associated with the water polo team.
Gee, how do you play that?
Well, water polo is a sort of a soggy version of soccer. The team whose pole motor breaks down first is declared the loser.
And what position did you play, Unc?
Well, I had a very important position. I was the assistant business manager. Oh, great jumping jeeps. That must be him already. I'll answer it. Where did he phone from? The corner drugstore?
Well, Gildy, you old coot, how's the kid?
Oh, he's a... Oh, you mean me. Well, I'm just Brown, Dandy. I mean, I'm Dandy Brown. Come on in, won't you?
Oh, sure, sure. Hey, cabbie, just throw my luggage up on the porch. Well, Trocky, it's great to see you.
Yes, isn't it?
How are you, old rascal? You know you haven't changed a ton.
I haven't?
No, sir. No, sirree, Bob. Some of your pompadours slipped down to your lower lip, and some of your chest has slipped down to your belt, but I'd still know you anywhere.
I wish I could say the same about you, Brownie, old fellow. Come on in and meet the family. This is Leroy, my...
Well, Leroy, you're certainly the image of your old man, aren't you?
Leroy happens to be my nephew.
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course.
And this is Marjorie.
How do you do, Mr. Brown?
Why, Gildy, you old reprobate. Congratulations, what a beautiful young wife.
Marjorie is my niece.
Your niece? Oh, yes, of course. Well, I was just kidding. Don't mind me, folks.
Dinner, sir.
Oh, yes. And this is Bertie.
Yeah, I know. Your maid.
Absolutely correct. Have a cigar, Mr. Brown.
Yes, your unky was one of our star athletes.
Gee, Mr. Brown, tell us some more things that happened to you and Uncle Mort in college.
Yes. You seem to know so much that Uncle Mort has never even mentioned.
Yeah, and so much that never even happened, too.
Well, I'd love to, kiddies, but I'd better get out of town and register at one of the hotels.
But couldn't you stay with...
You expect to be here long, Brown?
Oh, just a day or two, then off again like a gypsy.
Gee, I'd like to travel all the time.
Oh, you'd soon get tired of it, my boy. Say, I'd give my eye teeth for a comfy home like this with a big fireplace, couple of swell kids, and a little guest room in case an old friend should show up.
Uncle, couldn't we...
By the way, Brownie, do you ever run into Eddie Maxwell or Bill Simmons or Clarence Benzer?
No, can't say that I have, but I saw Paul Green in New York last summer.
Oh, good old Paul Green. Don't believe I remember him.
Oh, he was one of the boys. Now he's in the game.
Game?
Yes, he makes puzzles. Oh. Now, there's a great guy. You know, he insisted on me coming out to his Long Island place for the weekend.
Uncle Mort, don't you think that we...
Yes, Green, I remember him now. A stocky fellow with sort of sleepy eyes.
Yeah, that's right. And talking about sleepy eyes, I'm sleepy. Yes, but now it seems there's nothing to do but toddle along to a lonely room.
Gee, Uncle, can't Mr. Brown stay overnight in our guest room?
What? Oh, why, of course, our guest room. I wonder why I didn't think of it myself.
You will stay, won't you, Mr. Brown?
Oh, now, please, Margie, don't call me Mr. Brown. Just call me Uncle Bob.
Yeah, Uncle Bob, you mean Uncle Boob.
You know, this is just too grand of you, Gildy. I'll just get my luggage. I think the driver left it on the porch.
Oh, no, you just sit there, Uncle Bob. I'll go get it.
Now we'll have time for a few more yarns about college, eh, Throcky old Socky?
Oh, yes, of course, Brownie old Clowny.
You know, when I think of those ivy-clad walls...
Wait a minute. Hold on there, Brown. There was no ivy on the walls at Princeton.
Been back there lately, Gildersleeve?
No, but...
When I think of those ivy-clad walls, I can't help remembering the days of the frost rush.
Excuse me a moment, won't you? Yes, Leroy, what is it?
Would you mind helping me, Unc?
What's the trouble? Can't you handle Uncle Bob's luggage by yourself?
Jeepers, no! Uncle Bob brought his trunk!
What?
And then a voice from the coop replied, "No, sir, ain't nobody here except us chickens."
You ain't the funniest man, Mr. Brown.
Oh, brother, what a memory.
I'll be right back with a tray full of breakfast, Mr. Brown. Mr. Gildersleeve, your friend sure is pleasant company.
Yes, pleasant and permanent. He's been here 3 days already. Bertie, did he give you any hint as to when he's leaving?
Well, he did discuss plans for a picnic 4th of July. Now I got to fix him a nice poached egg for his breakfast.
Now, George, I'd like to fix him a nice poached Mickey.
Hey, Uncle Mort, is Uncle Bob up yet?
Uncle Bob? Leroy, Mr. Brown is not your Uncle Bob.
I know, but he's such a swell guy. And he hasn't any nephews of his own, so I sort of adopted him. Oh, Uncle Bob, is there something I can get for you?
That guy gets more service around here than a cop in a kitchen. Nobody ever feeds me poached eggs in bed.
Oh, good morning, Uncle Mort.
Oh, hello, Margie. At least you're not going to neglect your uncle, I see.
I should say not. How's he feeling this morning?
Why, I... who?
Uncle Bob.
Oh, so you've adopted him too, eh?
Yes. He hasn't any nieces of his own, you know.
That bird hasn't anything of his own but an appetite.
Oh, yes, isn't it a shame? That's why I've arranged a nice big formal dinner for tonight.
Formal dinner? Do you mean I've got to put on soup and fish just to listen to that fish eat his soup?
Oh, now, Uncle, I've invited Judge Hooker and Rosita Callahan to meet Uncle Bob. You think he's Rosita's type?
He wears pants, doesn't he?
Oh,
what is it, Leroy?
Uncle Bob asked me to tell you that he'll be ready to leave right after breakfast.
Oh, he will? Splendid. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, can you have the car all ready then?
Oh, with the doors open and the motor running.
Good. He wants you to take him out for a long drive in the country.
Yeah, I should have known.
Oh.
I just love the Great Gildersleeve.
Well, you and your brother are obviously very different.
We're very different, yeah. I mean, he doesn't like, well, he doesn't mind the show. He just hates the, Leroy.
I know. I mean,
he doesn't like that.
A lot of people feel that way, but that's okay.
I use it as my ringtone. Ringing you, Vince.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Great Gildersleeve, May 17th, 1942. We'll have more of it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic. It is 11:37 on a Sunday morning.
You got it now, Carl.
Hey, do I have that right?
I think you're
right. No, it's Sunday
evening. It's Monday morning.
No, it's not Monday yet.
It's almost Monday.
No, it's Sunday night.
Not Sunday morning. We're a mess.
In 20-something minutes, it'll be Monday morning.
Okay, that'll work. There we go.
I am... What happened to me? I don't know.
I don't know. I ask
like,
you that
Sunday
every day.
Sunday morning? What am I talking about? Sunday morning. Did you have a nap today? I did not have a nap.
I didn't have a nap, but I slept late this morning, so that counts. I didn't get up till... Wow, I shouldn't even say.
Well, we stopped at Woodman's on the way home. We'll talk about that. We were up late
because we had a grocery trip last night. We're going to tell you all about it.
All right, but before we do that, it's the conclusion now to the Great Gildersleeve.
You can stop here, Gildersleeve. This is Hickory Hills, isn't it?
Yes. During the last war, Camp Hickory was located here. I remember the rifle range was right over there. Hickory was one of the biggest training camps.
Well, we've got bigger plans for it this time.
We have?
Oh, not you. My associates and I. Hey, you know, Gildy, I haven't discussed my reason for being in Summerfield.
Oh, there was a reason.
Oh, yes, and it's very confidential.
Yes.
See those hills?
Yes.
Well, our mining engineers report that they contain one of the richest deposits of manganese in the country.
If manganese?
It's not so loud. Yes, you know what it is, of course.
Oh, it's a very valuable mineral. It's used to toughen steel.
Right. It's in great demand now for war production.
You mean someone's finally found something of value in them bare hills?
Gildersleeve, there's millions in them there bare hills.
Millions, huh? Brownie, old pal.
Yes, Gildy.
Suppose we were to snoop around and find out who owns this land. Don't you think we could pick it up pretty cheap?
No, I'm afraid the owner wants a pretty stiff price, Gildy.
Oh, you know who it is.
I'll say I do.
Look here, Brownie, little chum. After all, we were schoolmates together at Princeton. Do you mind telling me the owner's name?
Not at all, old kid.
Good, then who is it?
It's me.
See my voice, I implore you.
Oh, hello, Uncle Mort.
Hello.
My, it's nice to have you so jolly again. You've been awfully grumpy the past few days.
Well, that's all changed now, my dear.
Now, run along and get into your tuxedo. The guests are due in half an hour.
Oh, the guests, of course. Deep in my heart, I... Well, hello, Leroy, my boy. Are you waiting to see me?
Yeah, Uncle. I sort of stumbled into something by accident this afternoon, and it's got me worried.
What is it, my boy?
This. I found it up in the attic.
Why, that's my old college yearbook. Say, wait till I show this to Bob Brown. He'll get a terrific kick when he reads it.
No, Unc, you'll give him a terrific kick when you read it.
Leroy, why should I kick Uncle Bob?
Because he isn't Uncle Bob. He's an imposterator.
He's an impersonator? What do you mean?
Look, this book's got pictures of your whole class, including the two Bob Browns who graduated with you.
Yes?
And one of them was bald, so that couldn't be him.
I remember now. Baldy Brown. He finally graduated. But couldn't Brownie here have been the other one?
No, look, the other one was an Indian.
This...
Gee... You think he scalped the first one?
Leroy, why couldn't you found all this out just a few hours earlier?
Why, Uncle Mort?
Because this humbug just took me out and showed me a reasonable facsimile of a manganese mine.
See, he's a fakeroo, probably looking for a sucker.
No, my boy, he isn't looking anymore. He just sold me a half interest in his manganese mine.
Mort had to go through with the dinner in honor of his old college chum, Bob Brown. Right now, it's cigars, coffee, and conversation at 10 paces in the living room.
Yeah, look at him go after my cigars.
Really, Mr. Gildersleeve, it was a most charming dinner, and I think that Mr. Brown is most charming, too.
Oh, yes, Miss Callahan. That fellow could charm a snake out of its skin. The present company accepted, of course.
Oh, he's led such an adventurous life. I understand that he was once an aviator.
You're right, sort of a fly by night. However, I have hopes that the government's going to step in and ground him for the duration.
And then the judge turned to the prisoner and said, you may be deaf now, but you'll get your hearing in the morning!
Oh, for corn's sake.
Leroy, I don't blame you. I'd like to talk to you in a moment, too. Excuse us, won't you, Miss Callahan?
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Unc, what is it?
Leroy, do you want that brown chap to get wise that we suspect him?
Gee, no, Unc.
Then put away that junior G-man fingerprinting outfit.
But how else can I track him?
Look, I'm going to call in a mining engineer the first thing in the morning. We've got to be sure where we're stepping before we put our foot into it.
Well, what do we do now?
Well, just keep our eyes open and pretend we're completely ignorant. From the way I let myself get swindled, I won't have to do much pretending either.
Unc, here comes Judge Hooker.
Yeah, what is that old hippo? Oh, Judge Hooker, how's things?
Hey, Gildersleeve, I must admit that I was completely taken by your friend Brown.
Uncle Mort was taken, too.
Leroy, go away someplace and pass the after-dinner mints.
Okay, Unc, maybe I can get some prints that way.
Prints.
I was just thinking, Gildy, how nice it is to renew old friendships.
Yes, very nice indeed.
You know, I'd rather have an old friend than $1 million, wouldn't you?
Well, I suppose so. Although there seems to be some rule that you can't have both of them at the same time.
Oh, now, Gildy, you mustn't be so hard-bitten.
I can't help it. It's because I've bitten so hard. Judge, there's something I better tell you, and quickly.
Hey, Mr. Brown just left with Miss Callahan. He's taken her for a ride to the magnesia mine.
What? Oh, the manganese mine.
Yeah, he's got her interested, too.
By George, I've got to stop before she does anything rash. Come on, Judge. Maybe you can help.
Here, Unc. Maybe this will help.
No, Leroy, I've told you before. I don't want that fingerprint outfit.
Slow down, Gildersleeve. There's Rosita's car. Parked up ahead.
Huh?
I wish I knew what this was all about.
Yes. Oh, I hope I'm not too late. You divert Brown's attention, Judge, while I talk to her. Rosita! Oh, Rosita!
What? Oh, why, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm Judge Hooker.
Hey, what are you two doing here?
Rosita, I must speak to you alone. Judge, you take care of Brownie.
Oh, Gildersleeve, this has been the most delightful night. Now, what do you want with little me?
Well, excuse me for asking, Rosita, but why did Bob Brown bring you out here?
Well, I thought I had an idea, but I was wrong. He wanted me to buy a quarter interest in some perfectly wonderful mining property.
Oh, my. And did you?
Well, it was like this. The moon was so beautiful, and he was so persuasive, and I'm so impulsive, I just couldn't say no.
I never should have introduced you to...
Gildersleeve!
Yes, what is it, Judge?
Gildersleeve, the most wonderful thing has just happened to me. You'll never guess. I bought a quarter interest in a manganese mine.
See here, Brown. I'm not going to beat around the bush any longer. You're a fraud and a fake, and I know it. Oh, you won't talk, eh? Well, I demand my money back. And right now, too. And if you don't...
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but is Mr. Brown in here?
No, Bertie. I'm looking for him myself.
Hello. I was just passing by, and I thought I heard someone paging me.
Oh, yes, Brownie. There's a little matter I'd like to discuss, if you have a minute to spare.
Always have a minute for my little bunkie. What is it, Maud?
Well, it's... excuse us for a moment, will you, Bertie?
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What was it, pal?
Well, I sort of been thinking over that mining deal of ours, Brownie, and I've come to the conclusion that it wasn't very fair of me to
gyp you out of a half interest for only $10,000. So I was thinking...
Well, if you're not satisfied, Gildy, I'll take the stock back.
You will?
Sure, I'll give you back your check and a $500 profit.
$500 profit? In cash?
Surely.
Now?
Just as soon as you hand over your stock certificate.
Stay right there. Don't move. I'll be back in a flash for the cash. Oh, excuse me, Bertie. Get out of my way.
Bertie, you waiting to see me?
Yes, sir. I drew all that money out of my building and loan like you done told me, Mr. Brown.
Good. I have your stock certificate all ready for you. 1,000 shares at 50 cents a share. Here you are.
Mm-hmm. What a beautiful certificate. And here's the $500, Mr. Brown. Take good care of it now.
Yes, don't worry. Now remember, not a word of this to anyone.
No.
Mr. Gildersleeve would be awfully angry if he found out that I let you in on this, too.
Don't you worry, sir. My mouth is going to be a closed book.
Good. Itch. Here he comes. Hide that certificate.
Yes, sir.
Yes, all right, Brown. Oh, Bertie, will you please excuse us again?
Certainly, sir.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you brought your certificates. Good. Now, here's your check back and $500 in cash, old man. Let me have the stock.
Yes, sir. Wait a minute, Brownie. Don't rush me into this thing now.
But that's what you wanted.
Yes, but if a shrewd operator like you is willing to pay me $500 profit on the deal, there must be something to this little mine after all.
But Gildersleeve, we just made a bargain.
We didn't shake hands on it. No, sir. You're not going to gyp me out of my investment, Brownie. I wasn't born yesterday, you know. I'm going to hold on to this stock. Oh, good afternoon, Margie, my dear. Any mail or messages or dividend checks for me?
No mail, Uncle Mort. But there's been a Mr. Connolly phoning all afternoon.
Oh, yes, Bill Connolly. He's the mining engineer I hired to give me a report on the manganese mine. What did he say?
I don't know. Uncle Bob took the message.
Oh, Uncle Bob did? Well, I'll have to go ask him then.
Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. I've got some good news for you.
Good news? You have?
Yes. You've been so anxious to get rid of Uncle Bob. Well, now he's left.
Left?
Uh-huh.
But, my dear, I don't want him to go now. Are you sure he's gone for good?
Oh, yes. Right after he spoke to Mr. Connolly, he phoned for a taxi, packed, and scooted right out.
No, great jumping jeeps. That can mean only one thing, my dear. Hand me the phone, Marjorie.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I've got to warn Judge Hooker that Brown is a phony.
He's a what?
I'll explain later.
Judge Hooker's residence.
Hello. This is Mr. Gildersleeve. Is he there?
Oh, no, Mr. Gildersleeve. He's gone to the bank.
Oh, the bank. Thanks. I'll try him there.
But, Uncle Maud, I don't understand.
I've been done brown by brown, my dear. He's a crook, a thief, a confidence man. He never went to Princeton.
Summerfield National Bank. Sheehan speaking.
Oh, Mr. Sheehan. This is Mr. Gildersleeve. Is Judge Hooker there?
Judge Hooker? Why, he just left.
Oh, too bad. Mr. Sheehan, I want to stop a check that I wrote made out in favor of a Robert Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve, but Brown was just in here and cashed that check.
No, are you sure?
Yes, Judge Hooker brought him over and introduced him. He cashed a number of checks. Is there any message in case Mr. Brown comes back?
Thanks just the same, Mr. Sheehan, but that bird will never come near your cage again. Bertie. You let me know just as soon as this Mr. Connolly, the expert, shows up. There may be a remote possibility that there actually is a manganese in those hills.
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve, I sure hope so.
Now, don't take it so hard, Bertie. After all, you didn't lose any money.
Yes, I did, too. All my building and loans is gone.
What?
And that Mr. Brown has said your honest face.
Why, Bertie, how could you be so gullible?
Oh, I guess it just runs in the family, Mr. Gildersleeve. I takes after you.
Well, I'd like to lay my hands on that crook.
Now, me, I'd just like to cook for him.
You'd like to cook for him, Bertie?
Yes, sir. I'd just like to cook for him one day, that's all.
Gildersleeve, are you home?
There's Judge Hooker, bellowing like a hooked bull. I'm in here, Judge.
Come on, Miss Callahan.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, you certainly have fine friends who treat a poor, innocent girl.
What poor, innocent girl? What's her name? Oh, you. Well, I'm terribly sorry about the whole thing, Rosita.
Well, you'll be a lot sorrier when I file a lawsuit against you.
What?
Judge Hooker, I'd like to sue him in your court. Can I make an appointment now?
In his court? But Miss Callahan, Rosita, you know, I tried to stop you.
I'm getting in, Mr. Gillespie.
Folks, that's probably the mining expert I hired. We might as well hear the sad news.
Here's that Mr. Connolly you've been waiting for.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Connolly, is there any manganese in Hickory Hills?
Now, Mr. Gildersleeve, it's a well-known metallurgical fact that the presence of manganese in commercial quantities in this region is a geological impossibility.
Does that mean I get my $500 back?
No, Bertie, it means that we're all sunk.
Very well, Mr. Gildersleeve. You shall hear from my lawyers.
Gildersleeve, never speak to me again.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry if I've upset you folks. By the way, I stumbled across a curious thing up there. It might interest you. You know where the Camp Hickory rifle range used to be during the last war, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, yes. It's on my property. Well, what about it?
Well, the hills in back are just chuck full of bullets. Must be 2,000 or 3,000 ton of pure lead just waiting to be dug up.
Yes, sir.
What? Does that mean we're going to make a profit after all?
Sure, Judge. Come on. All we gotta do is get the lead out.
Uncle Mort, it's wonderful. Not only is this a profitable business venture, but you're reclaiming vital metal for our war production effort.
Yes, Marjorie. And here's some more good news. In order to dig those bullets out, we've got to level off those hills, which means they'll make dandy building lots after we've finished. And more profit.
Gee, Unc, you're a regular financial gizzard.
Yes. Leroy, my boy, that's the wrong word.
Oh, my mistake, Unc. You're a regular financial blizzard.
Yes, let it go. Let it go. Good night, folks.
Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by William Randolph. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
That is The Great Gildersleeve, broadcast from May 17, 1942. Hal Perry starring in that. Also in the cast, Walter Tetley. We had Lillian Randolph, Loreen Tuttle. Frank Nelson was his old college pal. And also, I heard Mel Blanc, his voice in that cast. So, a great cast on The Great Gildersleeve. Hope you like that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. I bet you they have Grainberry over at Woodman's.
Oh, they had great cereal there. I bought some granola when we were there last night.
Yeah, I bought Fig Newtons.
I love Fig Newtons.
I love Fig Newtons.
And they have gluten-free items there for you too, Roger.
Tons, Roger.
So we stopped at Woodman's on our way home from
Buffalo Grove
last night. Well, we did, but you're not supposed to tell everybody where we were. And we bought some great stuff. What were some of your favorites,
Carl?
Well,
we bought apples. In fact, we posted a picture of us eating our Woodman's apples.
They're granny apples from Woodman's, and they were delicious.
Woodman's is amazing. I mean,
what else?
Aisles and aisles of amazing stuff.
I got granola. I got some items for you, Roger. They're gluten-free.
Yeah, I love the gluten-free stuff. It's hard to find sometimes, but...
Not at Woodman's. Jinx.
Wow. Look at
that. We know each other way too well.
They had a whole section there of gluten-free. They were cookies and brownies and all sorts of goodies. I thought of you.
Excellent. Yeah, they got everything. If you can't find it at Woodman's, it doesn't exist.
Probably. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They have
great
stores. Great deli and meat and produce, and we had a lot of fun there. I'm sure they had a lot of fun with us.
They literally had like 4 or 5 aisles of just bread. Whatever kind of bread you want, they have it. I mean, you cannot imagine how many brands of bread there are until you go to Woodman's.
A lot of different styles, too. It's
styles of bread?
Well, you know, like... the sourdough? No, the sourdough, rye, black bread, all
they've
different
got it
styles
all.
Of bread.
They have it all.
Don't forget the aisle.
Please don't forget the wheat berry.
I don't buy bread like I used to.
They have everything. And here's the thing, too. They're open 24 hours a day, and there are amazing stores here in Illinois. There's also stores in Wisconsin. But the thing that they're doing right now as a promotion with our show is if you go to Woodman's and shop there, take a photo of your Woodman's receipt and email it to us at Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com. If you do that, we will then email you 12 classic radio shows via digital download. It's a special promotion and a thank you from Woodman's for shopping at Woodman's.
And if you tuned out while Carl was explaining all that, it's all posted on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we have a whole... There's a picture of us eating a green fantastic... You know, apples could
you
be...
You should check out the picture,
you know,
Ben.
I tell you
look
what.
Look at the picture
apples
on our Facebook
could either
page.
Be great or not so great, and
this
these apples
great.
Are great.
You could tell in the picture
they're
how
amazing.
Great they
they're
are.
They're so juicy and delicious.
Anyways, check out Woodman's. We had a lot of fun there. We're going to go that back again. We're going to grab you along with next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, Roger, you're coming,
driving.
Coming with.
We're driving, but we're
buying,
not buying.
You're buying and flying.
I buy you
and,
an apple.
And I'll be with you.
An well, apple with you.
Then you send yeah. in your receipt, Roger, and you'll get 12 classic radio shows. Not bad.
You know, if I keep getting all these from you,
yeah.
I'm the one who's going to have all the shows, and you won't have any
I
left.
Know, you'll have
and
all
you know
my
what's
100,000
shows. He's going to have a radio show here at WGN, and you are not.
We'll switch places. I'll be the newsman. And you know what? I'll do the news up until 5 after.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you'll stop right on time.
I won't
time.
Go after 5 after.
Yeah, right. Okay, sure.
All right. After the news, we will tune into Escape with the Snake Doctor starring Jeff Chandler. And we'll have some more fun. We'll play our game, Is It Real or Ridiculous?
We will.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back. Here's hour two. It is, now it's Monday morning. Right?
You got it.
Did I have it right?
You've got it right.
All right, it's Monday,
Monday.
Morning.
Whew. It's confusing.
Wow. All right, Monday morning, we have an episode of Escape. You are going to love this episode of Escape. It's called Snake Doctor, and it stars Jeff Chandler, who played the bashful biologist, Philip Boynton, on Our Miss Brooks. You're going to hear him in a drama, a very good high adventure drama on Escape in this hour. But first, it's time to play our game. Cat Sprite, is it real or is it ridiculous? Who's the star?
The star is Samuel L. Jackson.
I have definitely heard of him.
Good, because I think you've heard of everyone I've done
so
thus
far. So far, I have.
So far, so good. The prize is the highly coveted desktop indoor weather station, brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling.
Okay, what caller would you like?
Caller 4.
Call now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll play the game live after these words. Come on, baby, let's get
ridiculous. And we're going to talk to Mary and get ridiculous. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Mary.
Hey. Okay.
Good. Well, glad Hi. That Ben got you on the air this time. He's going to lose a little pay for the last hour, but
we're docking him.
We're going to dock his pay a couple of cents. But we're glad you're with us. We'll play
Which
a little.
Is half his salary.
That's pretty much it. All right, Samuel L. Jackson, here we go. He was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Is that real or ridiculous, Mary?
I'm going to guess real.
Carl?
I'm going to say ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Ah.
It's not right. I don't know, but
so
I know it wasn't
one,
Atlanta.
This one is for me. And this one is for you. Sorry, Mary.
I'm sorry, Mary. He's a child.
Okay,
next one. He worked as a stand-in for Morgan Freeman. Is that real or ridiculous?
That one is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I like both.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
All right.
I made that up. Okay. He demanded a clause in his film contracts that allows him to play golf during his film
that's
shoots.
That's true. That's absolutely.
Was it your turn, Carl?
I'm sorry, Mary, but that is absolutely true. I'm positive of that.
Can I ask Mary?
I'm going to say true.
Why'd you say that, Carl? Well, I didn't answer yet. What makes you think it's true?
I know it's true. I've read that somewhere.
It is true. I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're Samuel Jackson, you get what you ask for.
Yeah.
Unlike Carl and Mari and Lisa Wolf.
Guess what, Mary? I got all three right.
You did.
And you got two out of three, and you're going to win a desktop indoor whatamaga-maga.
Are you trying to take my job away from me?
Player,
do you want me to say it or do you want to do it?
No, you do.
All right, Mary, you are the winner. You have won the desktop indoor weather station. Is brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They are the
60-minute man.
Right. You know that commercial. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. But you're going to get one from WGN. We're so happy you called in. Thank you, Mary. I'm sorry, Carl.
Thanks, Mary.
Just kind of bulldozed over you there.
No, not at all. Way to go, Mary.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Mary's a big winner. She won. And our listeners are going to win because we have a tremendous episode of Escape coming your way. Of course, Escape was radio's greatest series of high adventure. Came to radio in 1947 for seven seasons, and it was a show a lot like Suspense. In fact, many experts say it was like a first cousin to Suspense because they had great stories, very gripping tales. The only real difference is that Suspense had the big movie stars, you know, Hollywood movie stars, where Escape primarily had radio's, you know, supporting actors like Jeff Chandler. He wasn't at this time a big movie star, although he became a pretty big movie star. He was in a lot of movies a little later, but not in 1949. In fact, this is really interesting. He goes by his name that he was born with, Ira Grossell. He then changed it right after this, right, you know, within the next few months, he changed it to Jeff Chandler. But he is announced as Ira Grossell on this program. Let's go back to August 18th, 1949. This is called Snake Doctor. Here's part one of Escape.
Suspense, which is usually heard at this hour on Thursday nights, is taking its customary summer holiday. Suspense returns to the air 2 weeks from tonight, on Thursday, September 1st. You are standing at the doorway of a cabin on Cashier Creek. Up on the ridge, the bloodhounds have caught your scent, and between you and a fortune, between you and escape, yawn the white jaws of a deadly cottonmouth. We offer you Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Tonight, we escape to the worn-out acres of a poor farm somewhere in the southern mountains with Irvin S. Cobb's great tale of vengeance, Snake Doctor.
Far back in the southern mountains, it's quiet and hot and lonely. One pine-scarred hill is very much like the next, and one winding creek differs little from another. The area through which Cashier Creek twisted was the same as all the rest, except for the snakes. Deadly, venomous, cottonmouths, moccasins. There are probably more snakes along Cashier Creek than anywhere else. Most people lived in constant, deadly fear of these snakes, but there was one man who even seemed to like them. A man they called Snake Doctor. His cabin was near the creek bottom where the cottonmouths were the commonest, and he earned his meager living by rendering down their soft fats, bottling the oil, and selling it. Snake Doctor seemed harmless enough, but there was one man who believed he was a colleague of the devil, who hated him, because he wasn't afraid of the snakes. This man was Jafe Mourner, the Snake Doctor's nearest neighbor. Jafe was that dangerous kind of man who suspected, feared, and hated anything he didn't understand. And he understood neither cottonmouths nor the Snake Doctor. Jafe was ornery, ignorant, and shiftless. He'd rather shoot squirrels than chop cotton. He'd rather fish than hoe corn. And that's what he's doing now. Fishing down at the big hole with his son and heir, Finney, who's old enough but not quite bright enough to handle a gun.
Missed him, doggy.
Finney, you blame fool. I told you not to touch my gun.
Trump on him, Pa, before he gets in the creek.
What?
The cotton mouth.
What?
Trump on him in front of you.
The cotton mouth. Vomit. The unugly vomit.
You got it, Pa. Keep your foot on him, Wilson. I'll fetch a stick.
You don't need to, son. He's dead. Now, come here.
Pa? How'd he hit anything with that rifle? I had a bead draw right on him, and
you
I...
You darn fool!
What'd you do that for, Pa?
Stirring up that filthy snake whilst I'm a-fishing.
Heck, he was sunning himself not more than 2 feet from you. He was just 2 feet from
Never
you.
Never mind that kind of talk. Won't be no fish around here till Thunderation after all that racket. Well, come on, let's go home and get us some vittles.
Jafe Moore had tossed his bait can into the creek and threw a stick after it. He stood there watching the stick drift slowly toward the big hole where the creek widened behind a jam of driftwood. Jafe watched as the eddy caught the stick and sucked it beneath the dam.
Come on, Paul.
Jafe was curious. He moved downstream a rod or two and waited, watching the water boil up from under the driftwood. But the stick didn't come up. That was strange. It must have caught under there in a tangle of water-soaked and sunken logs. Probably it had stayed there for months. Perhaps stay there always.
Let's get some vittles, Pa.
Jafe thought about this, and an idea began to form in his slow mind as he and Finney started for home.
How much oil you reckon's in this, and Pa? Daddy?
What you jawing about?
This old cotton mouth. How much oil you reckon's
in... Throw it down.
Throw it down? Why for? I'm gonna...
Throw it down like I say.
Oh? I was aiming on rendering the old cotton mouth's fat like the snake doctor does. I was gonna sell it and make myself some money.
I don't like the squirm of things around me.
But it's dead.
Leave it where it dropped.
You scared on cotton mouths, Pa?
I know better than to get myself bit by them.
Pip Bailey knowed a fella got himself bit once. Wearing a drop of liquor for miles. So he goes to work and he cuts open a live chicken. And he put it on his leg where the bite was. Fella lived, too. Reckon Mr. Rives ever gets himself bit? I mean, handling cotton mouth like he does?
Who?
Mr. Rives.
Who?
Mr. Rives. That's old Snake Doctor's real name. Ma says I oughtn't call him Snake Doctor.
Never mind what your ma says. Nobody in my family's calling no snake-loving scum Mr. Rives.
Heck, that's what I say.
All right.
Could have made myself some money renting that cottonmouth fat down in the oil. How much you reckon old Snake Doctor makes out in the oil he sells?
I don't know.
Pip Bailey says old Snake Doctor's got more than $1,000 hid away somewhere in his cabin.
More than that, most likely. Cussed old miser don't spend nothing. Ain't got nothing save that rack of bones mare his.
Pip Bailey says whenever old Snake Doctor sets foot out in his place, he's got the granddaddy of all cotton mouths that he leaves out in the cabin to stand guard over his money.
Yeah.
Pip Bailey says he'd see old Snake Doctor put him in his pocket. Live ones, too.
Snake Doctor ain't fitting to be alive himself.
Ma says he ain't so bad. Says he don't mean nobody harm.
Your ma better be careful who she's associating with.
She says he just don't have good sense. Had the fever too much. Daddy, you ever been in Snake Doctor's place?
I don't have nothing more than I have to do with that snake-loving hoodoo.
Dip Bailey says he bet it wouldn't be no task at all for some no good to poke around the Snake Doctor's shack and maybe find all the money and make off with it. Blame son's dirty rendering me down. Look at my head, full of sweat. Look, Daddy. See? Full of sweat. Darn near guard full of sweat come off. Why turning down that away, Pa? Coming on noon, dinner be most ready.
I'm gonna tell the snake-loving hoodoo that there's some of them cotton mouths on the creek side of our deadening.
Heck, he knows that.
I'm gonna tell him he's got my leave to catch him. You don't need to come along.
Well, if you're going over to his place, I'd kind of like to see it for my own sake.
Thank you.
going in, Pa. He ain't at home. Else why's he'd have showed himself by now?
I reckon.
Can you see any snakes?
I told you to keep an eye out for
her. I bet it's in one of them chinks, Pa. Pa, I bet the money's in one of them.
I ain't looking for no money. Must be a dang snake itself, living in a place like this.
I know you ain't looking for any money, Pa, but effing you was, wouldn't you look at that there chink right up there?
Where?
Right there, second log by the fireplace on the right. You see that there hole?
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon I would look up there.
Since we're here.
I might as well see for myself.
Pa, I wouldn't be a mite surprised if old snake doctor had him. Pa? Pa,
was you looking for something, Jake Marner?
Snake doctor.
Yeah. I was looking for you. I want here. Yeah. Look here, you old hoodoo. What's the idea of sneaking up on folks who's took the trouble to come all the way down here to do you a favor, huh? Come on, Finney. We getting out of here.
Yes, sir. Like as not, he had a dang old moccasin squirching around in his pocket whilst he was talking to you. Daddy, do you mind how his eyes was when he come in? Do you mind how he kept looking up at the wall where I said I bet he had the money between the chinks?
Finney.
What?
Don't you say nothing to your ma about us being at the snake doctor's place, you understand?
Why, sure.
Well, just don't. And don't you go nigh it again. Cuss old varmint. You'd have thought we was prowlers the way he acted.
Yeah, prowlers. Ma! Stand up already!
You Paul with you, son?
Yeah. I got time enough for dinner to go down the spring and get Mr. Crowwater.
If you stir your stumps, you can. Catch anything, Jeep?
How you think I can catch fish with Fetty fine off my gun at cotton mouths all the time?
Ain't this heat more than a buddy can bear? Any cooler but the creek? That poor old Miss Rives come by here a spell ago, mighty nigh shook to pieces with a chill.
Oh. He come by, did he? Well, did he come in?
Just for a minute.
Just for a minute, eh? What'd he want?
He wanted could have given something for his ailment. Just about could drag one sore foot afore the other. Barely could make it up here from his place. I'll give him a dose out in our butler's ager drops. Would have given him a little smidgen of liquor, only
oh,
I could...
Oh, you would, huh?
Please don't, Jeff. Don't whop me. Don't, Jeff, don't whop me. Just poor old Mr. Ives.
Mr. Ives. Mr. Ives. How many times I gotta tell you that old hoodoo's name is Snake Doctor?
You don't mean nobody no harm.
He made a skin of lost what's hiding, Tyler, and you calling him Mr. Rives. Huh. You be calling him honey and sugar next. Without I line you, brother.
Please, Jerry, please.
Bad names, huh? Well, I aim to line you. What's his name now? Well, what's your poor Mr. Rives' name now?
Snake Doctor.
Okay, it's a creepy episode of Escape. Snake Doctor, starring Jeff Chandler, billed as Ira Grossell, his real name, on this episode from 1949. More after these words. folks. So we have not had 50 signups yet. There's still room to get in if you want to try our Classic Radio Club for the first month for only $1. You will get 5 CDs with 10 classic radio shows plus liner notes all in a collector case, $1 plus the shipping and handling, which is $4.99. Or you can get those same 10 classic radio shows digitally emailed to you. They download to any listening device along with the liner notes in a PDF form for only $1. That's the first month offer by going to classicradioclub.com, but you must use the promo code radio at checkout. And I think you're going to love being a Classic Radio Club member. Lisa's a member, Mike's a member, whole bunch of people. We have hundreds and hundreds of people that have signed up for the Classic Radio Club. And in fact, we have testimonials from people who have emailed in to talk about how much they love getting their digitally remastered radio shows and brilliant sound quality every month sent to their home or via digital download. Just go to our website and read a little bit about it as well, classicradioclub.com. It's a way for us to share our 100,000-plus classic radio shows with our listeners.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Going to Woodman's after the show?
No.
We got everything
tonight.
We need, right?
We'll go next week.
Next week, we'll go.
We'll go again.
I love Woodman's. Oh, man.
We'll, you know what we'll do? We'll go on Saturday night and buy some goodies to bring with us on Sunday.
I am so glad that I found out about Woodman's.
What did you ever do before Woodman's?
I honestly, like, I can't even imagine shopping anywhere else now. It's so amazing there. I mean, it's just everything. You find everything there. There's products in all kinds of foods that I didn't even know were being made or
put
out there.
Yeah, they have great prepared foods as well.
It's just great. Anyway, and you also get 12 classic radio shows if you email us your Woodman's receipt. Just mail it to Woodman's. Email it to Woodman's, WGN at gmail.com. That's Woodman's. WGN at gmail.com. Send it in. We'll send you 12 classic radio shows for you to listen to on any listening device. It is a thank you for shopping at Woodman's and for listening to the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to Snake Doctor on Escape.
Kizzy Mourner rubbed the ugly red weld on her scrawny arm and gave the frying pan full of sizzling side meat a hopeless nudge. She prayed that time and food might take the edge off Jafe's temper. Finney slouched in from the spring, saw the mark on her arm.
Pa been whomping you again, Ma? What'd you do this time?
She silently dished up the hogback and cornbread for her two men. While they sat at table, she ate on her feet, serving them between bites, as was the custom in the Mourner household. After dinner, Finney stretched out under the chinaberry tree. Kizzy sat on the porch, fanning herself and dipping snuff with a peach twig, scouring it back and forth on her gums. Jafe took his ease on the floor of the back room, but he didn't sleep. The meanness was stirring in him, and his hatred of the man he couldn't understand, the man who'd got rich off a cotton mouse. His mind was working on something he'd seen that day and another thing he'd heard. He was adding them together. That stick that had disappeared under the log jam and the Snake Doctor's money. It was 4 o'clock before any of them moved, and then Jafe spoke to his wife for the first time since noon.
Busy? Where's that there vial of drinking liquor?
By the window. You took it out in your pocket before you laid down.
I ought to carry a vial of liquor with me. I might get bit by a moccasin soon as Paul would.
You better not let me catch you. You find it, Jay?
Yeah, I just remembered. I won't be needing to tote no spits along with me while I'm going.
I wouldn't take no chance, Dave. Just one cotton mouth bite.
Cotton mouth's all down the slashes, else along a creek. Well, I'll be all this evening's up along Bailey's Ridge in the high ground.
You fixing to go shooting?
Ain't a gummy a chance of young squirrels twixin' on dust time. Heard them barking all around me this morning.
Reckon I come along, Pa.
You stay in here, son.
Oh, dang it. You'll be steaming in the place when the rain comes down. Pa, you might be needing me just...
You stay here.
Oh, dang it.
Kizzy, you set me up a snack of cold supper on the chef. Rockley, Won't get back till it's plumb dark.
Jafe Morner turned north through his struggling cornrows, and in a minute he was lost from sight. He kept on for nearly a mile till he came to a wild red mulberry tree. Where there are mulberries, there are bound to be squirrels. Very neatly, he shot two young greys right through the head. But Jafe was a master marksman. And unsuspected by any who knew him, Jafe had another quality, one that made him more dangerous than the rest of his kind. Jafe had an imagination. Today it was in excellent working order. He tied the brain squirrels together and swung them over his shoulder. If needed, they'd be his alibi. And then he sat down under a tree for a while.
Got plenty of time. Don't need to get down to Snake Doctor's place till about dusk. When he comes out to feed that swayback mare of his and... Mr. Ryan.
He sat out two brisk thunder showers in the intervals between them. And then he set off in a wide arc down Bailey's Branch along the skirts of Little Cypress Slash down to the sunken flats edging Cashier Creek. It took more than an hour of careful traveling before he came to his destination. A screen of haw bushes, less than 50 yards behind the Snake Doctor's cabin.
No matter how ailing he is, you'll get up and come out to feed that rack of bones mare. Mr. Rice, well, I'll learn him to go colleaguing around another man's woman.
Jafe Morner let his jealousy heat him to white hatred. At this moment, he was avenging his honor. Didn't admit even to himself that the real reason he was here was the Snake Doctor's money, hidden behind the log by the fireplace.
Home-wrecking, snake-loving varmint. Well, 10 minutes from now, I'll chunk him down a big hole in the creek like I did that stick this morning. And he'll go down and never come up. And nobody will miss him. Nobody will know he's gone for leastwise a week, maybe a month. And maybe if I get around to it, I might come back this way someday. Poke around that cabin of his'n, just to see if it's true, his having all that money hid away.
Jafe Morner's speculations were cut short. The cabin door opened and a figure stepped out into the growing dusk and walked toward the stable. He saw the Snake Doctor's loppy old straw hat and his dark coat drawn over a pit. At this distance, he couldn't miss. And he didn't. The figure jerked backward and then went face forward. Jafe started for him, then he stopped. His eyes bugged. His mouth formed a scream that he couldn't utter. His rifle dropped to the ground. He had just killed a Snake Doctor. Killed him dead with a .32 caliber slug through the head. And there on his door still stood Snake Doctor, whole and sound, staring at him.
Jafe Morner, what have you done?
The scream came at last, for Jafe Morner had seen the devil. The Snake Doctor who arose alive from his bullet-riddled body. Jafe whirled and ran into the deep, darkening woods, whimpering like a whipped puppy as he tore through the brush. Escape. He must escape this thing. He must get under the shelter of a sound roof. He must have the protection of four walls around him. He ran and ran for hours. It was close to midnight when he came out on a dirt road a short distance southeast of his own land. Beyond the next bend, he'd be in sight of home. And then he stopped. Around the bend, coming toward him, was a joggling light, a lantern hanging on a buggy. Jake flattened himself in a clump of brush to hide until the traveler passed. And then, just as the rig was opposite him, he heard a call coming from the other direction.
Hey, yo there! Who's jogging?
Oh, there. Oh, steady, boy. Me, Davis Ware. That you, Tip Bailey?
Yep. Hoofing it out from the junction. Tolerable tired. What brings you out this time of night, Davis? Somebody sick?
Sick, nothing. There's been a parcel of trouble a popping in these bottoms tonight. Steady, boy. Steady.
What do you mean?
A killing. That's what I mean.
You don't say. Who got killed?
My fixing to tell you. It happened just around dusk. Time of... down the old Snake Doctor's place.
Yeah? Was it him was killed?
Give me time, Tip. It seems like Snake doctor's been a-chillin' lately. Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad off today, so Miss Kizzy Morner, she footed it down from her place to his'n, fetching some physic with her and a plate of hot victuals.
You might have thought it, Miss Morner, might have thought it.
Want to hear this?
Yeah. Go on.
Oh, boy. Well, pretty soon after she got there, it seemed like he was tired. And he tried to get up out of his bed to go and feed that old crowbait nag of his. It started in again by then, pouring down hard. So she made him stay where he was, and she put on his old hat and throwed his old coat around her. And he wanted to keep out of the wet, and no more, and she got outside, and a shot came from the edge of the woods, and down she went with a bullet through her brains.
Killed her?
Kizzy. It is a dog.
It was Kizzy.
But who done it?
Was that low-flung husband of hers done it, that too?
They shot it was him.
Sure thing. Oh, boy. Sure thing, they're certain. Snake doctor jumped up when he heard the shot, and he catched a quick look at Jafe over the fence.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a long streak in Kiz's arm where he must have whopped her during the day.
Why, hanging's a sight too good. Did they catch him?
No, but they gonna.
Sheriff get there yet?
Oh, but he's due any minute with his pack of hound dogs.
Oh.
Trail ought to lay good. Ground being damp the way it is.
Oh, sure.
Oh, Snake Doctor, he's a-saying the Lord's going to strike the murder down in his track.
Amen.
But me, I'm a-putting my main dependence on them bloodhounds.
Oh, poor Miss Marna. She always was a good-hearted, hard-working woman.
Kizzy.
And mightily put
she's
upon
dead.
By that skunk.
I shot Kizzy.
Say, did you hear something just then?
Well, see, I did.
Yeah. Oh, probably a rabbit breaking through the brush. Hmm?
Listen.
Yeah?
The sheriffs are coming.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear them hounds of his'n?
Oh, just for sure.
I gotta hurry. Get up, Bessie. Come on.
I'll see you back at the morning.
You sure will.
Jafe didn't waste no time mourning his dead wife. He had a chance against a pack of bloodhounds if he started right away. But Jake's imagination went to work again as he backtracked along the creek bottom in the spotty moonlight.
Gotta throw those dogs off the trail. He got to wade the creek, even if it is full of cotton mouths. Must be all around me now. Folks say don't strike no water. Hope them folks is right. Hey, I've got to get back to the snake doctor's. Get his money while he's still up at my place with Kiz's remains. Get his money and the rest will be easy. I'll make for the deep timber, cross country to the river, make it by tomorrow sundown, hire me a shanty boater to ferry me to the Arkansas side, or get me a haircut and catch me a train for somewhere else. And I got to get snake doctor's money first.
Snake Doctor's cabin was dark and empty when Jafe reached it. Only a few dull embers in the fireplace. But he knew where the chink was. He'd find it in the dark. He scrabbled at the logs, felt some bark give, felt the clay mortar crumble under his fingernails. There it was, a hole big enough for a man's arm. He plunged his hand into it, touched something slick and smooth, and then something sharp plunged into his thumb. At that moment, the fire flickered to life. Jafe yanked his hand out of the hole, saw two tiny bleeding punctures in his thumb. At the mouth of the hole stretched the wide-open jaws of a cottonmouth. It worked fast. He felt the pain leaping from his thumb to his hand, seeping up his arm. If only he had some liquor. If he had a fresh-killed chicken to slap on the wound, but he had nothing. Then a sharp, horrible pain wrenched his heart, and then a second. And there in the firelight, the huge cottonmouth poised in its crevice. Jafe leaped out of the shack, started blinded for the timber. He staggered, stumbled, then he pitched forward on his face, his open mouth full of weeds and muddy grass stems. The cramping fingers of his outstretched right hand almost touched a reddish-black smear on the wet, trampled grass.
Good riddance, by gravy. I'd call it that, wouldn't you, Doc?
I reckon there's a sort of rough justice in the way he died. Look, his hand reaching out, just about touching the blood where his woman fell. But in all my life, I've never known but two or three people actually was bitten by water moccasins. And until tonight, I've never had personal knowledge of anybody dying from the bite of any kind of snake.
It's a fact.
I'm gonna kill the dang reptile and kill my paw.
That Mourner's boy kicking up the fuss?
Yep, and no good like his paw.
Let go of me, I'm my own boss, man.
What's the trouble, Tip?
Oh, Kenny Hears went out in his hay.
I'm gonna kill the snake that bit in my paw. Then I'm gonna give that snake doctor a whomping for keeping a reptile in this place.
Your pa got what was his due, Finney. Snake doctor ain't to blame.
He's a hoodoo devil.
Looky here, boy. Mr. Rives give me all his savings, nearly $100, to pay for burying your mother decent. That's how much he thought of her. Now go on home. Behave yourself.
I'm gonna get
go on, Finney. There ain't no reason for you hanging around here.
Somebody ought to kill a reptile a bit in my paw.
Doc, just a minute ago you started to say something about snake bite not killing. But how about them two marks on his thumb? Them snakes gashes like some I've seen.
No, that don't explain how it...
It's Finney Mourner. He's in the cabin.
The fool kid. Come on, Doc. He's probably shot.
Well, we're too far off.
I shot it!
But I didn't hit it! It's gonna get me like he got my paw!
He said he shot at something in the cabin. Come on, Doc. Let's go see.
All right. I don't see anything.
Oh, Finney's had enough happened to him yesterday and today to upset even a bright boy. So we can't... Oh. There it is.
What?
That cotton mouth up there in that hole in the log.
Oh, there. Sneak doctor told me about that varmint. Look at him closer, David.
No, sir. Not me.
Go ahead. It's just a stuffed snake.
Stuffed?
Mm-hmm. Snake doctor believes in precautions because that hole's where he hides his money. That snake would scare away anybody who didn't know it was stuffed. But just to be sure, old snake doctor lined the hole with coils of barbed wire.
Oh, I see. You mean them marks on Jafe's thumb was got off the barbed wire?
That's right, sir. Lots stronger hearts than Jafe Mourner's would stop beating at a scare like that.
Well, I'll be switched. Old snake doctor's a cute one, ain't he?
Escape, produced and directed by Norman McDonald. Tonight brought you Snake Doctor by Irvin S. Cobb, adapted for radio by Fred Howard, starring Bill Conrad as Jafe with Paul Frees as Finney. Featured in the cast were Ira Grossell as a narrator, Bill Lally, Ruth Parrott, Wilms Herbert, and Edgar Barrier. Music is conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week, we escape with John Collier's story, Evening Primrose. Be with us next week at the same time when once again we offer you Escape. Ethelbert is at the bar, and Anne and Casey are about to enter on another thrilling crime photographer adventure. Tonight, it's a story entitled Big Danger, and it'll be along on most of these same CBS stations in just a moment. This is John Jacobs speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is Escape with Snake Doctor from August 18th, 1949. Ira Grossell, who actually is Jeff Chandler in that cast, and a great supporting cast with Jeff Chandler, William Conrad, Paul Frees, William Lally, Ruth Perot. Actually, I think she pronounced it Parrot, Wilms Herbert, Edgar Barrier. Great cast. It's heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. You know what, Lisa? I love hanging out with you. And I'm going to get to see you again this week.
A couple of times this week.
We've got
two things going on this week.
I have to see you Tuesday and Thursday. How lucky am I?
You mean you get to see me Tuesday?
That's what I meant to say. That's exactly what I meant to say.
So very different. One word changed the whole meaning of that sentence.
We're going to lunch with some of the WGN people. It's going to be fun. And then
Thursday, we're going to head out to 2K's.
2K's. Having a meeting over there.
Yep. We're going to schmooze a little bit this week.
Are you going to be sick of me this week?
I'm a good schmoozer.
Hey, look who's in the studio with us.
Nick.
It's Nick DiGilio. What's up, Nick?
Hey.
How are you?
All right.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Nada?
Going to do nothing a radio show in a couple of minutes?
What'd you think of the, something. What'd you think of the football game today?
I don't follow football.
No?
No.
All right.
I do, however, I mean, obviously on social media, people were going nuts over both games.
Yeah.
The blown call and the Saints game, and of course, Tom Brady, who's not human.
No, he's not a human. He's not human.
Yeah, I'm not a big
guy. Nobody should look that good and be able to play sports that and be married to someone that beautiful.
Was this his ninth Super Bowl?
Yeah, something like that. He's from another planet. He might be from the same planet that Lisa visits.
We hang out.
Yeah, you and
he's
you,
my bud.
You. So I saw a good movie this week. I saw the Upside.
It's so good you didn't even remember the title.
Well, it doesn't really. I don't know how it makes sense to the movie, the title to the movie. I mean, you know, when they come up with these movie titles and they make, I don't know, there's no reference to upside in the
movie.
Well,
there's
what's the upside? I mean,
that's the upside. It's like the relationship, the thing that happens with these two guys.
I liked the whole dynamic of it. I really thought it was cool. I mean, how he got the job was kind of cool. And then I liked
it's making a
Bryan
lot of money.
Cranston's.
Well, Bryan Cranston's great.
He's amazing. Yeah. And I thought Kevin Hart was really great in it. And Nicole Kidman was great in it. I just thought it was a really good movie. I liked it a lot.
It's doing well.
Yeah.
It's certainly tapped into to an audience. There's no question about it.
Yeah. So what's coming out soon that I should definitely see?
Well,
I love asking Nick this.
There's nothing
coming out in the next few weeks.
And one of the worst movies ever opened this weekend.
What was that?
Glass.
I knew you were going to say that. I just knew that.
One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
And it has all kinds of big stars in it, right? Is it
Bruce Willis,
one?
Samuel Jackson,
yeah.
James McAvoy.
It's not good, huh?
No, it's M. Night Shyamalan, so no, it's not.
It's not good. Okay. No. So what should I be going to see in the next, let's say, past the next couple weeks?
Netflix.
What should we be looking forward to?
Yeah, there's really not much. I mean, there's a really charming-looking film that opens next week called The Kid Who Would Be King, which is kind of like a kid version of the Knights of the Round Table, King Arthur story, and it takes place in modern times. It looks really fun, and I hear really good things about it. And the guy who actually directed that movie did a really great British sci-fi movie called Attack the Block, which is really tremendous movie. It's John Boyega was in that. He's now in the Star Wars movies. He was like the star of that movie.
Oh, okay.
British sci-fi movie, really, really terrific. And this is like his follow-up to it. He hasn't made a movie since then. That was a long time ago. So
the director of that one for the God, I'm trying to think of the movie now. The Spanish director who won,
Alfonso Cuarón.
No, the other guy
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, Guillermo. So he won for his
Shape
of Water, which I thought was a really interesting film. And then the film that he did a few years prior to that is one of my favorite films of all time.
Pan's Labyrinth.
One of my favorite. What's he working on, do you know? Is there anything he's doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, Shape of Water was just last year. Give the guy a break.
Yeah, no. No, I want to see something by him again. I want to see what he follows up Shape of Water with. He's such an interesting. I mean, his movies have such a look to them. Unlike anything else.
And he's also, you know, he's a guy who has sort of an endless imagination and dedicates a lot of his imagination to some really weird creatures. Like he likes to fill his movies with really strange monsters and creatures. He's obsessed with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's good. I thought you were talking about Alfonso Cuarón and his movie Roma, which is the best movie of 2018.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
It's available on Netflix.
Roma. I should be able to remember that because Lisa loves Roma wines. It's her favorite wine.
Well, it has nothing to do with wine, this movie.
This is deja vu, this conversation.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
I know we
before.
Did.
But yeah, but Alfonso Cuarón, it's an autobiographical movie loosely inspired by him growing up in Mexico, shot in black and white. And it is a magnificent movie.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
So what's on the show this morning?
Movie reviews. We'll rip apart M. Night Shyamalan and Glass. We are also going to talk about. We're going to talk with our buddy Rod Pyle, who is a space expert, and he's going to tell us all about the crazy blood moon that's happening right now.
You know, when I was in college, I studied to be an astronaut. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah, I took up space.
I can't.
I don't even know what to say.
Nothing. There's nothing to say.
There's no hook to pull you off the stage. Is that possible?
I got one in there.
You know,
got
the thing is, he does that joke maybe once every other week, so you forget or not, and then he says it again. So time has passed.
I mean, it's a classic. I mean, yes.
I don't know if it's a classic. I wouldn't go that far.
In his mind, it's a classic.
So the Blood Moon, okay.
We're going to talk about that and some other space stuff. And then we're going to rank the Star Trek movies, all of them.
Oh, wow.
And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. And we're also going to tell you how you can celebrate MLK Day, which is today.
Oh, that's
all right.
Great.
Very cool. Stick around because Nick DiGilio is up next. All right. Here are the sounds that matter. The top five at five from the Rocon Show with Anna DeVellantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Lisa and I will be back here next week. We have
Fibber McGee and Molly, Fort Laramie, Mr. and Mrs. North, that Saturday at 11. On Sunday at 11, we have Dragnet and the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show.
Yeah, that's
great,
right.
Stuff coming
Ben
up.
Anderson, our producer
Thank
tonight.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Ben,
you,
for
Ben.
A perfect show.
And thanks to all our listeners and sponsors. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned. Nick DiGilio up next.